Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor Show, where we talk about health tips and strategies to help you be smart, sexy, and strong. On today's show, I have as my guest, Dr. Anoop Kanodia. Dr. Anoop discovered that his initial medical school training was not enough for him to fundamentally help people achieve true, long-lasting health. Early in his residency, he began to notice that the symptom drug approach worked for acute problems like severe bacterial infections and heart attacks, but this model was fundamentally flawed for chronic health conditions. He believes the reason this model is inadequate is because it's entrenched in dispensing pharmaceuticals that often have severe side effects and do not address the root cause to treat the person. So he learned to help people get to the root cause of different illnesses. In today's interview, he talks about some of these root causes, and this is a great interview for those of you who have tried everything and are searching for real solutions. So you can, as Dr. Anoop says, get well, stay well, and live well. On today's show, Dr. Anoop shares with us some of the major root causes of common diseases, what many people eat that creates a lot of these health problems, and what may be robbing you of your health. So please enjoy the show. Welcome to the show, Dr. Anoop.
Thank you, Dr. Cates. I'm so excited to be on here and excited to talk to your audience.
Great. It's great to have you on the show, and I haven't seen you in a while. I know we've seen each other at JJ Virgin's Mastermind event and some of these conferences and things. So it's good to see you on Skype. I wish it was face to face, but I'll take what I can get.
Likewise, and it's my schedule, your schedule. It's when people are assisting other people, it's sometimes hard for other practitioners to get together. There's so many patients that need that have the needs.
That's right. Well, I know we want to go ahead and dive in. You've got so much great, valuable information to share with my audience. So we want to just dive in, but let's start with your background. I always like to start off with people's background. And so tell us a little bit about your background.
You know, I think what's so fascinating is I come from a family of docs, medical doctors. And in this history of medicine, you know, you read about Deepak Chopra, Andrew Wilde, fifth, sixth grade, seventh grade, seeing them on PBS. It's a different, you're like, wow, people can actually get healthy. And then you go to medical school, you want to get people healthy. First year of medical school, you learn the normals, just like how your medical school was, you learn the normals. And then second year, you know, you learn the abnormals and the treatments. And then you're like, this doesn't make sense. People are not going to get healthy if we're taught in medical school versus naturopathy school or chiropractic school or acupuncture school or any of these things. So I'm like, okay, I got to figure out how do I apply what I'm reading from Andrew Weil, Deepak Chopra, other thought leaders, Christian Northrup. So then I started learning about alternative medicine, you know, started doing the national committees on alternative medicine, going to national conferences. And it was amazing starting in third year, fourth year of medical school. But I said, well, maybe it's just my medical school I went to. I'm from Akron, Ohio, small town America. So I go to Mayo Clinic, the number two hospital in the country for my residency. It's great training. We do great work there. But it was still, for every ill, there's a pill. So it wasn't to the root cause. So I said, well, maybe that's just the issue. So I go up to Harvard for my training fellowship. But it was an alternative medicine fellowship. So that was great. And my boss there was wanting me to just do the basic research, alternative medicine. I know I want to figure out the root cause. Why are people sick? If we can figure out why people are sick, we can get them healthy. And so they introduced me to President Clinton's doctor, Hillary Clinton's doctor, Vice President Biden's doctor, Mark Hyman. He's a chairman of the Institute of Functional Medicine. Got to learn from him for 2.5 years. And I learned this idea of functional medicine. I'm like, I get it. If we ask these questions, do these lab tests, spend the time with the patients, we're going to figure out why they're not feeling well, which can then lead us to how to get them healthier. Fun.
No, just to share with our audience, how much training in nutrition do you get in medical school?
You know, very little. I mean, the two things I took out of medical school were things that happen in African kids. Nothing in about American, but it's Kashikori syndrome and another illness starts with an M, Massamore, I think, or something like that. But, you know, it's one week or so in the basic first 2 years of medical school type of thing. But, you know, second and third year and probably fourth year, probably third and fourth year, we have some put into the cardiology stuff, some in the GI stuff, but really not a lot. And you and I probably hear this all the time together, especially your audience who's, you know, wanting to be younger, sexier, healthier, stronger, smarter. You know, their doctors aren't asking them about their nutrition. I cannot tell you how many of my patients who go to a GI doctor, they don't ask them about their nutrition. Or how many of them go to the endocrinologist or any of the doctors that are really dealing with this stuff. Are they actually taking a deep dive into nutrition? In my office, we have an actual dietitian there, a registered dietitian who's interested in alternative medicine, a deep dive with them. Spend an hour with them on just nutrition every week or every other week.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people don't realize what they're eating can create health problems. What are some of the health problems? The two conditions you mentioned that you learned about in medical school, those are extreme nutritional deficiencies, right? What are some of the things that we see in common modern day America? What are the common symptoms that you, I mean, some of the conditions that you see and the eating habits that are associated with that?
Question, and it's probably the most important question we're going to get to. If your viewers can remember one thing, every illness is associated with the food we eat. Three times a day at least, we're voting with our knife and our fork or with our hands, do we want to be healthy or do we want to be sick? Every symptom from head to toe can be linked to food. So if you have a symptom, if you want to be smarter, if you want to be stronger, if you want to be younger, it is directly tied to your food you eat. The only exception is what we call autosomal dominant illnesses. So the Huntington's chorea, some of these things like ALS sometimes, that's the 0.1% of illnesses. 99.9% of illnesses is what we call, from a genetic standpoint, autosomal recessive, which means that it takes our environment plus our genetics. But there is that 0.1, under 1%, that's only genetics. So every illness, if we think about the top things that people have illnesses with or symptoms with, fatigue, directly related to the food we eat, weight, directly related to our food we eat, our mood, depression, anxiety, and stress, how long we live. Now we think of illnesses, cancer, heart disease, lung problems. The top 10 illnesses what we die with, top 10 illnesses with what we suffer with, all related to the foods we eat. Our happiness is related to the foods we eat.
Yeah. And so what are some of the common symptoms, the most common symptoms that people come see you for in your clinic?
You know, I see, so it's, I'm so glad that you're interviewing me because that's my population. Most of the people who are seeing me are women between the ages of 30 and 50. And many of them are saying, Doc, I want to lose some weight. I want to have more energy. I don't have a good relationship with people around me or with themselves. I find so many people aren't happy. So many people aren't happy. We see a lot of IBS, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, a lot of yeast overgrowth. They don't know they have yeast, but this yeast is an epidemic. Really, what they're coming in for is saying, I want someone to listen to my story. Most of the time, the doctors are in and out in 5 or 10 minutes, if not 20 minutes. I haven't felt I heard my story. I want to know why I'm sick. I want to have a plan. I want to get off these meds. I want a solution. That's what they're coming in for. So every symptom that your audience is probably having is probably something I've seen one time or another on a very regular basis.
Yeah. Sounds like those are very common things for you to be seeing, similar to what I see in my practice too. So, let's talk about how we overcomplicate health. Can you tell us about how do we overcomplicate? That's something you've mentioned to me.
Yeah. You know, so one of the first things is we have to think of the body as a whole rather than dividing it up. The example is if we compare the US highway system versus the airport system. And what I mean, if we try to take a car from New York to LA driving, there's probably almost an infinite amount of ways to drive there, all these small roads, et cetera. And that's actually how we look at the medical body, right? Biochemical pathways, one drug for the liver, one drug for the heart, another drug for the lungs, one drug for the brain. You can take 1,000 drugs. There's people that come into my clinic with 10 drugs, 20 drugs they come in with. And it's just all hodgepodge. It's not a system put together. But the airport system is probably how the body is. And what I mean is the airport system, there's four major hubs in the U.S. airport system. New York, Chicago, Atlanta, and L.A. From those four major hubs, you can get to 80% of the airports across the U.S. So that's called systems theory, and that's how the body is arranged. If you take care of the four or five major things of the body will do the rest. It is not heart is on an island of itself, the lungs on an island by itself, the kidneys are on an island by itself. No, you're overcomplicating things. It's this idea of Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's men, all the king's horses couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. When you have a clock that's broken, you're trying to put all the pieces together. It doesn't work. So you don't subdivide the body. That's the first step of not overcomplicating things. Is saying, you're having five illnesses or five symptoms. What's in common? Not what's different about them. And what's the first one that started? 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Or when they were born, even. And then how do they all track together? That's the first step, is saying that what is a common story, an easy story that explains all of your symptoms together. If you don't have that story, you don't have the connection between your illnesses, you're making it too complex. If you're seeing three, four different doctors, it's too complex because they haven't figured out the reason. It's Humpty Dumpty again. And I truly mean that. And science is showing that. And we can go on the science part of this. I don't want to bore your audience on the science part because I love the science part. If we flip the camera around, you see all my books on my bookcase. It's just crazy. That's my hobby, is the science and the research. I did a 3-year research fellowship. You know, I've been in academics all my life. It's called systems biology, complexity science, network medicine. It's showing it's all interconnected. And we can get into, you tell me, if you want to get into the nitty gritty of how to keep it simple, we can do that too. But, you know, that's the big picture, you know, and I don't want to overcomplicate it, but I want people to get that message.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if there's anything else you want to share with that, I mean, it certainly makes sense to me, but if there's any science that you wanted to share in particular about that, then yeah, we have time to delve into that a bit.
You know, and it's not the science, but then it's the how-to. So what is it that makes it, how do we make it simple? And we're happy to go through that. How do we make it simple? But the first thing that I want people to really get into them is that it's all your illnesses are connected together. And if you're trying to separate your heart and your lungs and your kidneys and your skin issues, your brain fog issues, you're not going to get better.
Absolutely. So now you've talked to me about sugar and carbohydrates and how they really contribute to a lot of these health problems. You want to, let's talk about that.
You know, this is so important. You're going to hear, and your audience will hear this, the biggest hormone that you're going to hear in the future is insulin. This is the master hormone that is causing most medical problems today. From, again, symptoms-wise, our fatigue, our overweight, our mood issues, depression, anxiety, stress, how long we live. From illnesses, cancer, heart disease, you can talk about any of the other diseases, are linked to insulin. And we have not made that connection really big in conventional medicine or standard of care medicine yet. So what do I mean? We are eating so many things that break down to sugar right now. What happened was in the 1980s, the American Medical Association, the American Heart Association, the American Association thought that fat was what was causing illness. And so then they said, okay, we want to eat low fat. So what do? When you, there's three major macromolecules, fat, protein, and carbohydrates. So they lowered the fat, thinking that they're doing good. And I honor them for thinking, for doing what they thought was best. And they raised the carbohydrates. And what are we seeing? We're seeing our health getting worse and worse and worse per decade. Our children are the first decade of, and your children, my cousins, are the, is the first age group where their lifespan will be shorter than ours. That is scary. And why is that? We misinterpreted the data. We thought the fat was what was the problem, but it's really things that break down to sugar. And what do I mean? All the bread, the pasta, those types of things, the beans, the rice, even the fruits. Anything that breaks down to sugar is causing insulin to go up. When insulin goes up, it's causing medical illnesses left and right. So am I saying forever? No. What do we do in our practice, in my practice? We check our insulin level. We check the uric acid, a couple blood tests, simple blood tests. We check the glucose levels. If those are above optimal, we have them eat a high protein, high fat, the two other macromolecules. Again, if it's protein, fat, and carbohydrates, we lower the carbohydrates, increase the fat, increase the protein. Once the uric acid is normalized, insulin is back to normal. People are feeling awesome. Their symptoms are gone a lot of times. And then we're adding back in healthy starches, sweet potato, yams. We're adding back in gluten-free carbohydrates, adding back in fruits. But it's, again, it's a balance. So all the illnesses that we know of have a relation to, I would say all, 99% of illnesses have a relation to insulin or things that break down to sugar. And when we look at how much sugar we eat today versus 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 100 years ago, we look at how much sugar we're eating against other countries, it's astronomical.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. So with, you mentioned normal or optimal blood glucose levels. What I usually, and I know that most doctors say if it's below 100, it's normal. what I believe, 80, 85 is what I'm usually looking for. What is the range that you...
That is great. And this number, that this question you're asking is so important because so many wellness, corporate wellness has a fasting glucose. This is something you can look at. If your audience has their fasting glucose in front of them, they can look at that. We know that the risk of diabetes starts going up at 85. So the top level of optimal is 85. So really, my range is 60 to 85, with 85 being illness. And I'm shooting for that 75 range. And the core, and there are now wellness companies, corporate wellness, now doing a hemoglobin A1C, the 3-month marker for that. I want that number to be around 5.2, below 5.2 range. And I can give you more numbers if you want, but I don't want to bore your audience either. But
no, I think that's great because, again, a lot of doctors, if it's 5.9 hemoglobin A1C, that's when they start to pay attention to it. And if it's around there, then they don't even mention it. They don't even mention if your blood sugar is 99, they won't even tell you. They say everything looks good.
But it's a different mindset that people like you and I have. Our audience, your audience, has a different mindset, right? They want to be smart. It's not that they want to be. They're trying to prevent dementia. That's one thing. But you want to be smart. That's optimal health. You want to be strong. That's not just losing muscle mass. That's, being strong, doing what you want in life. So you and I are looking at things at optimal levels. We're not looking at things that, well, 101, you're pre-diabetes, and 99, you're normal. It's a, you know, it's like having the best life possible.
Right. It's really about optimizing health, not just, you know, making sure that you're alive today.
It's how, I mean, like, I love that we're on Skype together. Who knows how long any of us have. So it's just great to see your face today, you know, and make today the best day possible. And what's so cool is usually when the numbers are optimal, the patient feels optimal too. So it's not like you or I want the patients to have a fasting glucose of 80 and be 400 pounds or a fasting glucose of 80 and feel horrible. The best thing about what we do is usually when the patients feel good, their numbers are also pretty good too. They're feeling strong. They're feeling sexy. They're feeling smart.
Yeah, and it's really a combination of how a person feels and their labs, not just one or the other. We need to look at both. It's really important to look at both. I see patients, they come in and they haven't had blood work done in 5 years. And they say, oh, I'm fine. Well, yeah, you might be fine, but let's look at what could be better. What could be more optimal?
Right. And sometimes they don't want to be better. And then that's a psychological thing that we have to address. Why don't you want to be better? And if you want to be fine, great. But if you want that awesomeness, if you want the best day ever feeling, it's something different, you know? And there's a lot of people that want that. So, I mean, I love how you're doing this podcast, you know, because there's a lot of people that want the information that you're giving.
Yeah. So I wanted to go back to carbohydrates because there are different type of carbohydrates. And you know, it's really interesting what you talk about, what you do with your patients. And I want to make sure that the audience knows that not all carbohydrates are bad, right? I mean, vegetables are carbohydrates and those are good carbohydrates, especially like green leafy vegetables and the cruciferous vegetables. Those are great. There is a range of that, those types of carbohydrates that convert to sugar and the problems that they create.
Absolutely. So in my hierarchy of foods, number one is water. I consider water a food. Number two is leafy greens. We work our patients up to an 8-ounce bag of leafy greens every day. That's what we want them to eat. All different types of leafy greens. And then after that, after leafy greens comes good fat. After good fat comes protein. And that's what we say, you know, and then as they feel better, their labs are normal, we're going to add things that are on the mid-range for carbohydrates and even on the high range, depending on the patient's preferences, their goals, and how they feel.
Right, absolutely. And I also want to make sure that we cover this microscopic organism that you say is robbing people of their health. And I think I know what this is, but will you share with us, what is this microscopic organism that you've been talking about?
You know, so I've been really lucky. You know, I've got a website and we put together a free ebook and a video series on something that most doctors don't believe about. It's yeast. Most doctors don't know the questions to ask, don't know the labs to do, and don't know how to treat it. Again, most illnesses from dandruff, chronic sinus infections, allergies, oral thrush, thyroid issues, skin, dry skin, bad nail jock itch, we can go toenail issues, fingernail issues, fatigue, weight. Almost every illness, again, can be related to yeast. And why is that? Because we eat so much sugar in our society and so many carbohydrates, that's the food for yeast. So we have a yeast overgrowth in our body. And that's a medical term that you and I are talking about. Many people don't know it. But if you feel that you're not 100% and you have not ruled out yeast overgrowth, this microscopic organism, that could be the missing link to how smart you want to feel, to how strong, how sexy, your weight, your emotions, your energy level. So
how do people test for that? Or what kind of tests do you do in your practice? What do you do to test for yeast?
So in the free ebook on the website, there's a quiz in there. So people can take a quiz to see what their yeast score is. That's one way. Second way is there's a stool test that we do for patients. From Doctor's Data, we actually do stool for 3 days and we look at, is yeast growing in there? We can also do blood tests. From Genova, they have a blood panel for yeast also. You know, LabCorp also has a yeast panel in there also. That's what I do to test for it.
Okay, great. And that's something that people can get through. Well, not all medical doctors are going to order those kinds of tests. So it's better, you know, how can they find out what kinds of questions do they ask? As, you know, not everybody can come and see you or me. So if they can't, what kind of things should they look for so that they can test those?
My suggestion is going to a functional medicine practitioner, going to a naturopath. These people have the expertise in this area. I think it's very hard to teach your doctor something they don't believe in. They don't believe in this concept. Since they don't believe in the concept, they don't know how to even order the lab tests. 99% of them don't know what to do. So I feel comfortable having them see a naturopath or a functional medicine doctor.
Right. So if these things come back positive or they score on your quiz that they have yeast, what do they do then?
The number one, so our algorithm is we work on people's intracellular hydration. We work on people's sleep. Then we work on their nutrition. We put them in a high protein, high fat nutrition plan, taking out anything that breaks down to sugar other than the leafy green vegetables. And that kills off the yeast. We sometimes have to give them herbals or anti-yeast medication. And sometimes we have to give them good bacteria, the probiotics, good yeast, not all yeast is bad, type of things to do for them. Sometimes we have to detox them, help their liver and kidneys and gallbladder work better. So it's a step-by-step process. But many times it's just changing the hydration, the sleep, and the nutrition. The body takes care of the rest.
Yeah, it's a lot about restoring the body's balance so that it can you know, we have this innate wisdom that our body has, and it just, if we give it the right tools to get back in balance, it can have the right balance of those microorganisms that keep us healthy and keep things in balance. Because, you know, yeast is everywhere. It's not like it's, you know, it's, we can't avoid it. Yeast is around us. But it's, the problem is when we get the overgrowth, right, of the imbalance of the microorganisms.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if you, I know you're so busy with your patients. I'm not sure you saw my patient who had so much yeast overgrowth, he blew positive on a breathalyzer test. So basically, he got a DUI. He blew, so normally in a breathalyzer, you blow a 0.0. For to be drunk in the state of Ohio and in many states is 0.08. I think he blew a 0.17, which is double the legal limit. He didn't drink any alcohol at all, zero. He had a high carb meal, pasta. He blew positive breathalyzer test. So when people get this drunk sensation possibly, or this afternoon tiredness, this 2 o'clock swoon, it could be yeast overgrowth. For that patient, all we did was change his nutrition, got him sleeping, got his hydration. We didn't even need to do any medications or supplements for him. His yeast went away. He has his life back.
Oh, that's great. You talked about that and you were on television talking about that, right?
Yeah. So Deborah Roberts, you know, from ABC News 2020, we were in there in August, the TV show The Doctors, which is in daytime in most places around the country, the CBS production, but it's on all the networks. We were on there, I think, in September, about just this idea. It's called auto brewery syndrome. Basically, you've got so much yeast that you have your own brewery, your own beer factory in your gut.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's definitely kind of a unique situation. It's not a common test to look for yeast overgrowth by doing a breathalyzer test. Although maybe it should be something that we start doing.
I don't want to take that test myself, but yes, that might be one fun for the patients in the office.
Yeah. Okay. Well, is there anything else that you want to share about treating for yeast or balancing the body? Anything else you want to share about that?
You know, I think, you know, what you said is so apropos, which is yeast is throughout our environment. Baker's yeast. Yeast is in the beer we drink. Yeast is everywhere. No way am I saying that I want to be scared of it. What we want to say is that if you're not feeling 100%, this might be something your doctor doesn't know about, which is why I spent my own time and money to make the ebook, to make the videos, other things, that I would look into this and that take the quiz and see if you score high. And if you do, go see you at your clinic or go, you know, see a functional medicine doctor, come see me or who, whatever. The goal that you and I have is to let people have the best life possible. And how can they have the best life if their doctor is missing why they're sick?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I want to go check out that quiz. I haven't seen it yet. I kind of want to take it myself and just see. Well, thank you for all putting all this together and all the work that you've been doing and spreading the message and coming on my show today and answering these questions. You're just a wealth of knowledge, and I appreciate all the work you're doing.
Absolutely. And likewise, I really appreciate collaborating with naturopaths and your podcast. I mean, having podcasts like yours is the good side of the internet. It's the good side of real information where patients aren't stuck with only what their doctor says, only what their doctor's knowledge is. So I really appreciate you having a podcast like this.
Thank you. All right. Well, so great having you on, and definitely we'll need to have you back.
Sounds great.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Anup. And to get the information, the ebook, the quiz, all that information, you can go to my website, drtrevorcates.com, go to the podcast page and go to the information with his interview, and all the links will be there. Also, if you like this interview, want to see more of the Spa Doctor podcast, you can go to iTunes, the Spa Doctor podcast, and subscribe. And if you feel inspired, leave a comment. And thanks again for joining us today. Have a great day.